Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Started this morning in the book of Ephesians. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. And there's some things that you'll see in his heart that I think is true in any heart of a minister of Jesus Christ for people who are living for God. He tells the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You'll see here the heart of the Apostle Paul as he explains how God put different ministry giftings in the body of Christ to equip us for what God's called us to do, but also to grow us up spiritually, ultimately verse 14, that we're no longer children tossed to and fro. But that as we grow, we begin to get some spiritual stability, and we don't get wig-wagged. Here's the Amplified. So then we no longer be children, tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of cunning and cleverness, of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery in inventing errors to mislead. All that stuff was out there then, it's out there now. John puts it this way: Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The message simply says, my dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. All right? You know, things are the same today as they were back then. But you see the heart of these men, Paul and John. You know, you see people going on in God, and they have a heart for God and a desire to know God. And, you know, ultimately, when a person has a heart and a desire for God and to live for God with all their heart, soul, mind, strength, that zeal, that excitement is designed to be there for God and to fulfill that great commandment. But there are going to be people and agendas who want to take your zeal and channel it for their cause in different things. And so we're told that we do need to be careful. We do need to listen and be aware of what it is that we are hearing, what we are believing. This morning I simply want to talk about how to test the spirits. Okay? I want to talk about how to test the spirits. Like we said, the heart of any minister of God is to see people grow up spiritually and get the truth and get it right and really experience God and develop that relationship that they have with God. But again, invariably, you're going to have to deal with what the apostles are talking about, winds of doctrine, things that people say, is this God, is this not God? And I am able to bring this morning a lot of years of experience, about 30 years of experience, of a zealous young, you know, kid from, you know, 17, 18 years old, just really living all out for God, doing my best to live all out for God. And I can say within that 30 years, I've got some stories to tell of stuff I've believed that was wrong, that appealed to my spiritual ego, even my testosterone at times. There's doctrine out there that will just, you know, it can lead you astray. And ultimately it leads your eyes off Jesus. It leads your eyes off of Him and that relationship that you have with Him. And there are things that we can do to test the Spirit. In other words, as you're engaging in something, if it's a new doctrine or something, there are some things that you should test. There's some things that you should check up on as it relates to the doctrine and as it relates to the people who are communicating the doctrine. All right? There are some things that we can check out, some things that can just help us. And so what I've just wanted to do this morning is just share some guidelines that I have found, scriptural guidelines. We'll see how it reconciles with the Word, of course. But scriptural guidelines that I have found that have helped me to stay steady, to stay upright. You know, when you have a bike, you have what we call training wheels, all right? And when you are learning how to ride that bike, they can help keep you steady as you're learning how to get that sense of equilibrium and that sense of balance. And these guidelines that I want to share with you this morning are going to be kind of like training wheels. If you put pressure on those training wheels, they'll help keep you upright. And these are some things, again, questions you can ask about doctrine, teaching, things that you're getting, you know, to help understand. I mean, I grew up in a denominational church, in a Lutheran church, but when I came out, you know, over into the charismatic non-denominational realm, I found out that it was a culture of a tape-listening, conference-attending, book-reading group that, you know, all of a sudden you've got a lot of different people in their favorite tape series, and sometimes they're conflicting tape series in different groups, and they're trying to see if you're going to get it right as the pastor. And there's a lot of stuff out there, and there's a lot of warnings, too, in the Bible about this stuff that's out there. And again, as a pastor, you know, your heart is to see people grow, okay? And I do talk about things, even from this pulpit, you know, from time to time about specific doctrines and things that we have to be on the lookout for and things that are not right, things that are not in line with Scripture. But at the same time, I don't ever want to come across as kind of this heresy hunter kind of a guy that's just critical of people. I don't like that. I don't believe that's God. There are some things that go on, you know, in the name of Christ that are really just rooted in insecurity. You know, when it comes to cults, I mean, I don't have any problem mentioning Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon, I have no problem mentioning that. These are clear-cut, you know, non-Christian-oriented cults that are out there. But we got to be careful when we're talking about people within the church. And my mentor, who I grew up under at Rhema, Kenneth Hagin, he was very careful to not specifically call out ministers in the body of Christ over a point of doctrine. Why is that? Because you might hear me preach on something that you think, oh, well, I know so-and-so preaches that, and that's against what so-and-so preached. Gee, Pastor Ed, why don't you just call them out by name? I'm not going to, because I probably agree with about 95% of other things that so-and-so says. And I don't want to bring so-and-so down just because I disagree on a point of doctrine. You know what I'm saying? It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about what's right and what's wrong. And so you're learning to discern truth and error, not people and that person, cluck, cluck, cluck. Forget that. I'm about really taking thoughts captive, not people, thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And I'm judging doctrine, not people. That's the other reason why I don't call out somebody. Who am I to judge another man's servant? To his own master he'll stand or fall, and I'm not their master. And God's able to make them stand. Even if I disagree with them on a point of doctrine, God's able to make them stand, and I believe he will and does and make them fruitful for the kingdom of God. So I'm not falling out with people over a point of doctrine. I don't have that spirit or that heresy hunter spirit where I'm trying to take people down and I'm right and they're wrong. No. If you follow that, you're just following loyalty to another man. You ultimately, as a minister, want to get people judging the word for themselves and begin to find out their own sense of what's right and wrong and to grow in their own walk with God. They're not tossed to and fro because they know God and they know his word and they know his spirit. It's very hard to fool them. Not because they follow so-and-so hook, line, and sinker. You know, we've got to be careful of that. Sometimes you see Protestants making fun of Catholics because they believe in the infallibility of the Pope. They think, how ridiculous. Yet I've seen some Protestants follow some theologians with the same sense of infallibility. Well, so-and-so, I follow so-and-so. Oh, really? Well, that's good. So-and-so may be a great man of God. They may have a lot of great truths. Are they infallible? No, they're not. They're a human being. And some of their beliefs can be tempered, as my beliefs can be tempered, as anybody's beliefs can be tempered, by condition, by your past, your upbringing, things you've experienced, things you've gone through, hurts, things, whatever. So, we want to learn to grow up spiritually. We want to learn to be honest with what it is that we believe. And not be afraid to take anything into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. I guess that includes our doctrine. That includes what we believe about Jesus. So, how to test the spirits. These are just a few, again, a few guidelines on how to test the spirits. There's four of them. I was really wanting to take these four guidelines and create a clever acronym where I could just have a word, you know, some test. So as we're going through, if you can think up of a clever acronym for me, let me know. So anyway, we'll just be the guidelines. So here they are. First one. Number one, when we're talking about testing the spirits, you should have the freedom to be spirit-led. When somebody's got their doctrine, their teaching, that they're wanting to tell you and get across to you, you should have the ability and the freedom to be spirit-led, to search things out. This is the Apostle Paul, as they were spreading the gospel. In his second missionary journey, it says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few Greeks, prominent women, as well as men." You should have the freedom, when somebody tells you their doctrine, to search it out for yourself. To take their scriptures and the way they're dividing the word of truth, to be able to decide for yourself, is that true or not? Again, I mentioned before, my mentor, the school I went to at Rhema, Kenneth Hagin, one of the things that impressed me before I ever went to a school, just listening to some of his tapes, was he's always good about qualifying whatever he preached and said, don't take my word for it. Search it out for yourselves. Pray it through. Get that sense of peace and direction in your own heart. I always appreciated that he gave his hearers, you know, the freedom to check things out. Not all ministers are that way. They just come across, I'm the prophet of God. Believe what I say or else. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the Apostle Paul. You have the freedom to check and search the scriptures to see if those things are true. If with the Apostle Paul, how much not more, you know, how much more, you know, whoever. Sometimes people can come across and it says, test the spirit, right? Test the spirit. Do you have the freedom? Do you have the freedom to disagree with that person? Do you have the freedom to at least explore? When Julie and I first landed in Tulsa, I don't know how they got our name, maybe a mailing list, maybe something we saw in the paper, I can't remember. It was one of those deals where if you go to this certain, it was one of those kind of wholesale club type deals, and if you went and attended their seminar deal, they'd give you a free 35mm camera. And we had no money, we had nothing. I thought, wow, a free 35mm camera, yeah, let's do it. So we did it, you know, we went there and we sat and it's just really, you know, this deal where obviously they want you to, I forgot what it was, it's like $900 membership. One time, $900 membership fee paid over so many easy payments type of a deal. And but what they did was they walked you through their showroom, showed you all the stuff, and they said, you know, now see this, you know, vacuum cleaner, you'd pay, you know, and it was like right across from a mall. You'd pay like $400 for that vacuum cleaner at Sears. Here, through our wholesale club, you're only going to pay $200. And then she'd have her play money with her, and she'd, you know, with her four $100 bills. And she would say, you know, now if you were going to go and buy that over at Sears, that would be just like throwing $200 in the garbage. And she'd have her garbage can right there, and she'd put her $200 in the garbage can. And then she would stop and say, is that smart? And she would, looking at you for a response. And you're going, no, that's not smart. Okay. Very patronizing, very condescending. And so by the time you get through the showroom, you've saved your $900 fee a million times over. You know, it's just one of those deals. And so you get to the end of the deal, and they sit you down in your chairs, and it's kind of like you're right there. Me and Julie are just kind of sitting there in our chairs side by side. And so we just need you to sign this, da-da-da-da-da. And so I'm going, well, could I have 24 hours to kind of think it over? You know, just, no, this deal is good. You got to know, we need your commitment right now, da-da-da. And I'm going, just really, can I just, maybe even this afternoon or something, can I just get back, just want to check things out, make run numbers or something? No, we need to do that. And the more they were pressing, the easier this decision became on the inside for me. That no, 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 no. You know, the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And anytime I get a sign now, act now, dot, 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 or else, I don't care what the numbers are. The spirit of it's not right. And you can test that coming through doctrine. You know, if it's true, and you continue it, it's going to make you free. But if it's a sign now deal, or else, or believe this, or else, you know, we did get our camera, and it broke within a week of when we got it. Cheap little plasticky thing. I didn't know they made 35mm cameras that cheap. I thought it had to be, I had envisioned something completely else, but yeah, we got our camera. It was one of those deals where, you know, that comes through in so many different forms. Buy now, pressure, do this. You know, and like I said, for me, it became very easy. I just all of a sudden had this, I was wondering, should I? And the more I pressed, oh, wait, no, that's not the right voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of another they won't follow. After a while, it's not about the technical numbers and the money savings. It's something about being pushed into something. And there is a theological thing. You got to have the freedom. I'm just saying these are tests of the Spirit. You got to have the freedom to be able to be led by the Spirit, search things out for yourself. Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Jesus said this. He said, I still have many things to say to you. You can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak and tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And then, so what are we saying here? We have the Spirit of God in us for a reason. And one of the reasons we've got the Spirit of God in us is to let us know whether something is right or not right. The Spirit in us, you know, we're led by the Spirit of God. How does he lead us? Verse 16 shows, he bears witness with our spirit. You know, not only he'll bear witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. How do you know you're a child of God? Sometimes we'll say, I just know that I know that I know. That's the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. It's hard to articulate. It's a spirit thing. There was a song that came out years ago. It's a holy nudge. You know, it's one of those things where you sense and perceive the Spirit of God showing you, bearing witness to truth. That's where the Apostle John, in his writings, he said, regarding those that try to deceive you, you have an anointing from him. You need not that any man teach you, but that anointing teaches you all things. Now, he wasn't doing away with the office of the teacher, but he was making a plea for these spiritual children to let them know, you got something in, you got someone on the inside of you. You know, like I said, I've been through some stuff. For me, I got tripped up on a thing, you know, that came down the pike, you know, a few years back, you know, where I was, you know, I was all passionate about, you know, going to, it was a doctrine just about how we're going to live for God in a way to judge the sinner. And the sooner that we can, you know, get the sinner judged, then Jesus is coming back. And there's no rapture, that's just for wimps. That's for spiritual wimps. You're going to be strong, you're going to be tough. And it was like, yeah, 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 I totally get that. I don't even need, you know, that just sounds right to me. And, you know, you find out in the spirit there's neither male nor female. There's neither testosterone nor estrogen. There are estrogen-oriented doctrines and testosterone. There's things that will peel on you. But you find, I don't want another move of estrogen. I want a move of the Spirit of God. I want the Word of God. I want things that are going to appeal. What does the Word say? What does rightly divided Scripture say? It's not about me being tough. It's about what does the Bible say? You understand? Preachers can almost be like theological politicians. Have you noticed that? Right. We got, you know, election years and elections coming up here before you know it. And you know the way a politician will represent a political view. And they'll voice in and characterize their position with empathy and compassion and understanding. And then characterize the opposing position as hateful and indifferent and cruel. And a good politician on both sides can take the same issue and characterize it both ways. Good preachers, theological preachers, politicians can do the same thing with doctrine. And you realize that, hey, I can't be listening with ears. I got to be, you know, with persuasive ears in terms of I got to really, what's the word say? What is the Bible? I've got to have the freedom to be able to listen to what the Word of God actually says. And so, as we're looking at the freedom to be led by the Spirit, we see that we've been given the Spirit of God on the inside of us. So regardless of how persuasive the preacher is, what do they say? I'm listening on the inside. I'm all listening. I'm hearing what they have to say, but ultimately I'm listening on the inside. Is that right? Does that line up? Do I have time? Maybe I don't know right now. Maybe I need some time to check things out. Can I do that? Like I'm in that place, that wholesale club. Can I have my 24 hours? Can you have whatever you need to search things out? Or do you need to join now? Do you need to be part of it? Do you feel in condemnation if you don't act today? We're just talking about testing the spirits. You've got to have the freedom to search things out for yourself. I'm not even talking about specific doctrines. I'm just talking about guidelines for testing doctrine right now. You should have this no matter what it is. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit, God might lead you to a person to help you explain some things. But ultimately, Jesus is your Lord. And you have that freedom. You have that ability. In fact, the Apostle Paul was so strong, he said, I still have many things to say to you. He said, but you can't bear them right now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, I meant Galatians. He said, I marvel that you are turning so soon. This is Paul writing to the Galatian region of churches. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Listen to this. He said, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. That's the Apostle Paul saying, look, if I come back to you, Galatian churches, and I preach to you a different gospel, you better reject me. You better not accept me because I'm the Apostle Paul. The gospel. The gospel will bear witness with your spirit. And the Apostle Paul put the gospel above his own apostleship. That's powerful. In other words, the Apostle Paul was saying, it's the gospel. It's the gospel. If I come back and preach to you something that isn't in line with the Word of God, you better not accept me. You better, what does that mean? It means no matter who's doing the preaching, everybody is subject to being tested. Again, I don't mean critical, negative, down, chip on your shoulder thing. I'm just saying, honestly evaluate what is being said. All right? You've got to have the freedom to be able to do that. Not only in the freedom as far as doctrine goes, but also just the freedom as far as your own being led by the Spirit of God. It's, you know, this is the apostles. It says, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit didn't permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul by night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after we had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. What is this saying? It's saying, I am Spirit-led in what I do. Sometimes people will create doctrines, and they'll just say, the Word says it, just do it. Don't talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's a cloak for compromise or things like that. No, wrong. That's not true. The Word does declare things, and when it comes to areas of morality, yes, I don't have to get a leading of the Spirit to wonder if I'm supposed to commit adultery or not, or whether I'm supposed to steal or not. There are moral absolutes in the Word of God. I don't need a leading of the Spirit. There are commandments of do's and don'ts that are clearly out in the Word of God that I know is right and wrong. But when it comes to ministry and doing things, you are absolutely connected to a leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, what if the Apostle Paul would have said, you know, I don't even know what it looked like in real life when the Spirit didn't permit him. It might have been a tongue and interpretation of tongues. It might have been a prophetic word. It could have been a check in the Spirit. Who knows exactly, but we know that they were led of the Spirit. The Spirit was bearing witness in some way. is to for them to not go. But what if somebody would have had that prophetic word and said, you know, no, I have not called you to go to Bithynia right now, and I have called you, whatever, however that came through. And what if the Apostle Paul would have said, what? No, I rebuke that. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He could have overrode it, couldn't he? That might have been the last missionary journey he was on right there. Could have gotten killed in Bithynia. Ultimately, you're led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a cop-out for not doing what God called you to do. The Holy Spirit is in you to lead and guide you into all truth. And we are led by the Holy Spirit. This is huge. This is very important. Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do. Jesus didn't just indiscriminately do what he wanted to do because he was God in the flesh. He was still connected to the Father. And he said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I haven't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And I am saying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As I am praying and I'm being led by the Spirit of God to know what his will is, how do I know? Jesus said he would take the things of mine, verse 14, and declare it to you. Well, that's the will of God. As I'm Spirit-led, I have that freedom to be Spirit-led. I've been around people when they try to push salvation, and it's not right. It's like this Bithynia thing. It's like, ugh, it's not right. Not that the gospel isn't right, but it's just like, they're pressing, I gotta do this. It's not always God when you do that. No way. It isn't. Not that the gospel is wrong or isn't right, but you can push things, and it's not right. They could have pushed into Bithynia and said, ah, go into all the world. It's not right. You are led by the Spirit of God. Absolutely. There's a leading of the Spirit of God. I've hit the streets. I know what it's like to go in Hennepin, downtown Minneapolis, and hit the streets and win people to Christ. I know what that is. But I'll tell you what, we're prayed up. We're prayed up, praying in the Spirit. We're strong in the Lord. And even as we're hitting the streets and going to people, we're praying on the inside and going to people as we're led to go to people. We're always, always listening on the inside. Hitting people. I have no problem with that. But there is a you don't divorce yourself from the leading of the Holy Spirit in the name of doing the word when it comes to ministry. You better not. You better allow the leading of the Holy Ghost to always have a voice. Anytime somebody comes along with their doctrine and they mock the leading of the Holy Ghost, you've just about got a new Lord in your life. Whatever they tell you to do, you got to do. And if you ever say, I just feel, I sense, oh, that's your feelings, that's your, they'll undermine the leading of the Holy Spirit as though it's this non-insequential, consequential, compromising, fear of man, da-da-da-da-da. No, it's precious and it's there and it's of God and it's mine and I won't let go of it for anybody. And I won't let anybody intimidate me away from it. It's my Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit in me, sent to bear witness to all truth. And I will never allow anybody to shut it down in my life. I will never stop the permission for my own self to check in on the inside to see what I think. When somebody wants to take that away from you, you got a new Lord. Test the Spirit. Anybody who really loves you and is for your well-being, they're secure. They want you to check on the inside. They want you to search things out. They want that for you. They want it to be real, not to just follow them or copy them. It's a real deal. And so, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So I'm Spirit-led as I'm ministering to those who are outside. And I like the Apostle Paul wrote to Philippians once. He said, for some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, in this I rejoice, and yes, will rejoice. That word, when he's talking about, you know, not sincerely, you know, what that, you know, if you look that up in the Greek, what the Apostle Paul, or that word, I don't even want to pronounce that Greek phrase, but it just simply means not chastely, garbling the gospel, not speaking the whole truth, but what served their purpose. All right? You know, there may be people, and there may be people that you know have the basic gospel right, but you may, as you watch through the channels, you may not necessarily want to watch them. All right? You know they got the basic salvation message right, but they might have some things going on. Pretense, selfish ambition, a lot of different agendas and reasons and going on. But the Apostle Paul, I like his deference. He says, you know what? The gospel's going forth and I therein rejoice. And so, yeah, people might be doing some things that aren't always spirit-led, or they might be doing some things from the motive of their own selfish, you know, glory or whatever it is. But, you know, the gospel's preached and I therein rejoice. And I'll tell you what, again, if I'm watching, I might be flipping through the channels and think, you know, I probably won't watch it. But you know, if a loved one called me up, an unsaved loved one called me up and said, oh, Ed, I just gave my heart to Jesus. I was just watching this show and I saw and I clicked. You know what? I would therein rejoice. I wouldn't be critical of that. No, I would say, praise God. Well, they received Jesus. Hallelujah. And so what am I saying here? I'm saying that, yes, you are spirit-led. You know, sometimes people might do some goofy things with the gospel, but you know what? Some people get saved. Praise God. I'm therein going to rejoice as well, too. So I'm not going to be critical about it, nitpicking every little spirit-led thing. You know what? Hey, we're human beings. We're all learning to grow and being led by the Spirit of God. We've all made mistakes in this area, and we're all growing and developing in it. So I don't say it to be critical. I say it mainly to say you need the freedom to be able to be spirit-led. Don't let anybody ever intimidate that away from you. You always have the right to check in. You always have the right to make sure that it's bearing witness with your spirit. And if it's not bearing witness with your spirit, and many times it won't bear witness with your spirit, and you won't even know why it's not bearing witness with your spirit. Thank God he is in there. He is in there to protect you. When I was saved, you know, and I was getting off on my big doctrine, it was funny, my brother and best friend got saved right at that time when I was kind of getting off on my tangent. They didn't know the Bible. They didn't know anything about that. They just knew that Jesus loved them, loved God, and they loved God, and God loved them. They were so happy to be saved. And I remember just trying to get them into my doctrine and really get them off and, you know, to bring in Jesus and judge the sinner and, you know, kind of the anti-rapture and just this whole. And they were kind of like, and it was interesting. They didn't know the Bible enough to even refute me. They didn't argue with me about it. It was just like, okay, yeah, that's great. That's good. All right, cool. But I was wondering why I could never really get them into it. And then, you know, after a few months, you know, the thing of it is, when you get into something that's really not of God, and when it's flesh-oriented, you get tired, and it wears you out. And you have to let go of some things. Praise God, and admit you're wrong, and humble yourself. And I just remember realizing, they never got caught up in that. Huh. That's interesting. You know, I know so much Bible, and they don't know any Bible, and they totally stayed free from it. Huh. Well, they just stayed with what they had on the inside. Thank God they did. Praise God. You know what? Don't be intimidated by people who know more Bible than you do. If it doesn't feel right on the inside, if it's all right, you just go with what you got on the inside. There is an anointing that abides with you, not that any man teach you. Same anointing teaches you all things. You'll find out later as you grow in your knowledge of the Word. But you stay. Stay true. You never let go of your freedom to be led by the Holy Ghost. I don't care who is doing the preaching. Always. Another guideline. I think we're going to get through two of the four today, but it'll be worth it, I guess, to just kind of take our time and do it right. The other thing is that this is such a key one, too. And this is where you really got to look yourself in the mirror with your new doctrine. And honestly, you know, say, okay, praise God. Is this something that's happening to me right now? It produces the fruit of love, all right? When you test the spirit of something and you begin to walk in something, it will produce the fruit of love. This is kind of that same verse we were looking at before. The Apostle Paul kind of extended a little bit further. He said that we should no longer be carried, no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, by the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. All right? There is an element here in verse 15, you see it, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things who is the head. Now, when you see that verse 15, in place of the in, put a plus sign. In place of the word may, put an equal sign. Truth plus love equals spiritual growth. This is where the church is very different from the world. And it can be very frustrating to the intellectual Christian. It's not good enough to be right. Well, truth. Well, yes, truth is vital. I mean, deception, you got no chance if you're wrong. But truth only gets you halfway there for spiritual growth. The truth in love will cause you to grow up. This isn't just about a head game of who knows the most. Not at all. Truth in love. Truth plus love equals spiritual growth. Truth plus no love equals zero. Paul put it this way. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, this is the word, inspired by the Spirit of God. This is not a dramatic poetry thing. This is the word of God. This is truth. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, equals zero. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. We're talking about testing the spirits here. There is going to be a fruit of love. And as you're hearing things, it's going to draw and put a draw on your love walk. What does it look? What's the other part of this equation? This thing we called love. What does it look like in real life? Paul, could you give us a specific definition? He says, I'm glad you asked. All right. Love. It's not love. Suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Now think about this in terms of theology. In your new revelation from God, it doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. Doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Truth is only one part of our equation as we're growing in theology, as we're developing our theology. And what are we talking about here? We're talking about testing the spirit, right? I'm not even just talking about necessarily the theology. I'm talking about the spirit behind it. What is it producing in you? What is this new doctrine producing in you? Like I said before, I was just, I wanted to judge the sinner and get Christ back. And I just was mad at the sinner because he was holding Christ back. It was producing an anger. It was producing something in me that put a chip on my shoulder. Does your new doctrine put a chip on your shoulder and frustrate you and make you angry with everybody else? That they don't know what you know? Or does it produce love? James had a good little test. He said, who is wise and understanding? It's kind of your theology, you know. Let's see who's going to win the spirituality contest. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It's not a revelation from God. Why did he have to say this wisdom does not descend from above? Because they thought it did descend from above. Their prophetic anointing that got upon them of anger and hatred that they really believed they were hearing from God. And James is saying, you're not hearing from God. In fact, on the contrary, it's earthly and sensual and demonic. You know, there's flesh and there's spiritualized flesh. Remember the apostles? The disciples at the time were mocked. They were mocking Jesus. And the disciples said to Jesus, "Should we call down fire on them like Elijah did?" And Jesus said, "You don't know what spirit you're of." It's very easy to think you're spiritual and be really mad and want to do some really destructive things in the name of God. Me and you feel that. Do you understand? Anybody who's got one of these bodies is susceptible to that. That's not the other guy, it's you and me. We are tempted to feel that way. That was there for us, written for us as believers, to help us understand. So, James, what does godly wisdom look like in real life? Right. Oh, did I not get that? Oh, okay. No, don't tell me I missed that. I am sorry. Did I get there? Ah, oh, good, good, good. Said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Listen to these things. Then peaceable. This is a test of getting a revelation from God. Gentle. Willing to yield. You know what willing to yield means? It means you're willing to hear the other side. That's kind of an interesting paradox. When you are really right and you really got the wisdom that's from above, you're willing to hear the other side. Well, why would I need to hear the other side? Have I got the right thing? I guess God's really secure. He can handle it. You're willing. You have the ability to hear what the other person has to say. You might even learn some things from what they have to say. The wisdom, it's pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good, full, chock full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is where you lose the theological preachers. Politicians, I should say. The theological politicians. Politics is all about partiality. Covering up things, exposing other things, and portraying something. The wisdom from God has none of those magician games of projection. You're not an operator trying to curry favor with some people and trying to turn other. It's just naked and open. No partiality, no hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is what godly wisdom looks like. As you're testing the spirits, is there this fruit of love? Is there a peace? Is there a sense of security? Is there something here full of mercy, good fruits? You see, this is the wisdom that is from above. And this one doesn't make you want to destroy people. This one doesn't want to make you call lightning down from the sky. And this is the important thing. When people who are really get that agitated, it's very hard to have a close, intimate walk with the Lord when you see him and you try to interact with him that way. Jesus said of himself, he said, "I'm meek and lowly in heart." He said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, you'll find rest. I'm meek and lowly in heart." That doesn't sound very tough. Meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for you. He said, "Take my yoke and learn of me, and learn my ways." Meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. That's the way he is. Come on, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. This, when you know God like this, this is what will cause you to be open to his change in your life. Because even if he's going to correct you and show you something, he's going to show you in a way that you see it and you know it. That test of theology, I'll tell you what, there's the wisdom that's from above. It's going to have this about it. Again, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." He didn't say, "My sheep know my theology." He said, "My sheep know my voice, and the voice of another they won't follow." Now, we test the theology, we look at it, and we'll get into that later about lining up the word. But there's a voice behind it. Is it producing that? Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." And we're going to close with this one here this morning. But before Galatians in 5, it says, "Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh." The works of the flesh are these. He goes on and does the whole laundry list of what the flesh looks like. But he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, Do you know how you can tell whether somebody's really walking in the Spirit? Whether they're really close to God? It produces that fruit. This new doctrine that I have, this new thing that I'm walking in. Wow, I've got more love where I had before. I got more patience, more peace, more temperance. It's producing the fruit of the Spirit in me. It's the fruit of love test, if you will. What is it producing in you? This new revelation that makes you a cut above or whatever. I don't mean to be sarcastic about it, but you just make sure that when you're getting that revelation, that it's producing these things in you. All right, the other 2 points, we're going to get into some other things, but it's just important to know. God loves you. You know, he who began a good work in you, he will be faithful to complete it in you. Jesus is the finisher of your faith, all right? He'll use ministries and outside resources, and they're yours, but you are Christ, and Christ is God's. You are not a preacher's. You are Christ, and Christ is God. Those preachers, they're all resources for you to glean as you're growing and developing in your walk with God, as you are looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. But you better have some freedoms as you're venturing out into some new doctrine. The freedom to be led by the Spirit of God, praise God, and the free, and also whatever that is, it should be producing fruit, the fruit of love. You should be growing in love with your doctrines. It should be causing these fruits to be born in your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for truth. We thank you, Lord, that truth is knowable, Father, and that you have given us your precious holy written word. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You've put teachers in the body of Christ to help equip us. But I pray, Lord, for each one here this morning. Lord, I just pray that as we begin to look at a couple of these guidelines, that we just begin to examine ourselves. Just examine our own faith and examine things that we're believing. And just be honest with some things. You don't want us in bondage. You don't want us living in the fear of man. This thing began with a first love. It began with a revelation of your amazing love and grace toward us. And you authored it. Father, I pray for each one here that as they look unto you, every doctrine, every truth, every tape, book, thing they begin to grow and begin to flow in, Lord, that it is being finished and worked out by you. That there is a freedom to search things out. And that there is a freedom, Father God, to know that you have said these things. And also, Lord, there is an honest evaluation. Is this godly wisdom? Is it demonic wisdom? What is this thing producing in my life? Is it really causing me to grow spiritually in the things that matter? Not just truth, but truth and love that causes a real spiritual growth. That causes the compassion of your heart to be in my heart, to love people, to care for people, to be touchable, to minister. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. And Father, I just pray for each one here now, Lord, that you'll just show them in their own heart those things, adjustments that you would have them to do. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.